Hello, everyone. Brian and Julian here. We're going into the update vault to play one of the many episodes from throughout the many years of this program. For today's episode, we go into the world of 2021, continuing the pandemic era of the program. 2021 was still a weird year. We were still finding out the mysteries about the coronavirus, and we were still out on the road in the middle of a pandemic, no less. But somehow, we find a way to just make the whole thing work. Oh, and one last thing about this episode. After the show aired, one of my former producers, who happened to be listening to the show at the time, called me up and actually invited me out to lunch. How about that?
Good afternoon. It is day 9 of the MLB lockout. On the update this Friday, the Attorney General Tish James was running for governor. Apparently, is now at a change of heart. She suspended her campaign, saying instead that she'll run for re-election to her current position. She said in a statement that she needs to continue her work as Attorney General, citing a, quote, number of important investigations and cases underway. We'll have the latest details. Upstate, there are 32 hospitals that have suspended non-essential elective surgery starting Thursday under an emergency order from Governor Hochul. The Islanders are still winless at UBS Arena. It's the first time in NHL history the team has gone winless in its first 7 games in a new venue. And be prepared to have a little more patience this winter if you get stuck on the road. More motorists may find themselves snuck on snowy highways or have their travel delayed due to a shortage of snowplow drivers. States from Washington to Pennsylvania and even some of the Rocky Mountains are having trouble finding enough people willing to take the comparatively low-paying jobs that require a driver's license and often entail working at odd hours in dangerous conditions. This is the update, Friday, December the 10th. 2021.
From the Tommy Lynn Studios on the streets of New York City, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York.
Hey there, guys. Nice for you all to be here. Welcome to the update on a Friday, a getaway Friday for some of us. TGIF to all you out there. As we've said time and time again, this winter has just been weird. Really weird with the weather. It's been cold one day, then warm the next day. We're in the start of another warm stretch for us. I'm really starting to think I should just start wearing shorts. At this point, for those of you who are still trying to count down, we are about 15 days away from Christmas, 2 weeks until my birthday. I'm Brandon Schuling, of course. Thank you so much for being here. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to us, we appreciate you so much for doing so. Got lots to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Friday with the Attorney General, Tish James. She had announced just the other day that she was stepping down from her gubernatorial bid in order to run for re-election as her spot for Attorney General. But only just minutes before we started recording today's proceedings, we got word that Governor Hochul was making an important announcement regarding the latest COVID surge, thanks to the Delta and the Omicron variants. Facing a winter surge, the governor said that masks would be required in all indoor public places unless the business or venues implement a vaccine requirement. Hochul said today that the decision to impose a mass mandate was based on the state's weekly 7-day case rate, as well as the increase in hospitalizations. The mass mandate applies to both patrons and staff and will be in effect from December 13th to January 15th, after which the state will reevaluate. Several states already have mask mandates, including New Mexico, Nevada, and Hawaii. And just when I thought it was safe enough to go on vacation, the news somehow, someway is slowly just dragging me back in. Anyway, now let's talk about Tish James. She barely announced her campaign for governor just barely a month ago. Now she says that she's dropping out of the race. She's suspending her campaign, saying that she'll run for a re-election for her current position, which is the Attorney General. The Democrats said in a statement yesterday that she needs to continue her work as AG, citing a, quote, number of important investigations and cases that are underway. James, of course, oversaw an investigation into the allegations that former Governor Cuomo sexually harassed numerous women, only to announce, as we just said, that she was running late in October. The 63-year-old, of course, is the first woman elected as New York Attorney General and the first black person to serve in this role. On to some of the other news of this Friday. And of course, a surprise year-end decree by the mayor ordering virtually all businesses to get workers vaccinated is forcing vaccine holdouts to choose between jabs or their jobs. The mandate will take effect on the 27th, with workers needing to provide proof that they've received at least one dose of the vaccine. Workers at businesses from nail salons to the big firms over on Wall Street, they would not be able to opt out by getting COVID testing. Legal challenges, of course, are being readied. And although the mandate is set to go into effect 2 days after Christmas, the city hasn't released any details about how businesses will submit proof of employee compliance. Over at the Metropolitan Museum of Art over on the Upper East Side, they're dropping the Sackler name from 7 exhibition spaces. Amid the growing outrage, of course, over the role that the family may have played in the ongoing opioid crisis. The museums and the Sackler family jointly announced yesterday that the institution and their once deep-pocketed benefactors would part ways, moving the Sackler name for the iconic building, including the wing that houses the Temple of Dendur. In recent years, of course, the Guggenheim, the Louvre in Paris, the Tate in London, and the Jewish Museum in Berlin have all distanced themselves from the family. Talking about Tish James once more, she's now seeking former President Trump's testimony in an ongoing civil investigation into his business practices, according to a person who's familiar with this matter is saying. James's office has requested that Trump sit for a deposition on January 7th, according to the person, who was not authorized to speak publicly and did so on the condition of anonymity. The news was first reported by the Washington Post. Trump's representatives didn't immediately respond to requests for comment, and James's office declined to comment, too. In the past, the ex-president described the investigation as part of a, quote, witch hunt. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where before we learned about the new announcement from Governor Hochul, we were going to talk about how 32 hospitals upstate have suspended non-essential elective surgeries starting Thursday under an emergency order from the governor. The previously announced order is designed to ease capacity strains on the hospitals as COVID cases are continuing to climb once again. State Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett said that despite the concerns about the Omicron variant, the uptick in hospitalizations and cases reflect the Delta variant's spread. There are now 20 confirmed cases of the new Omicron variant in the state. 13 of them are here in the 5 boroughs of New York, 3 up in Suffolk County, two in Oneida County, one in Westchester County, and one in Broome County. To the Ghislaine Maxwell trial we go now. Well, that trial has now been paused because an attorney on this case has gotten sick. U.S. District Judge Allison Nathan told the federal court in Manhattan yesterday that the attorney was, quote, ill and asked to get care. She said that there was no reason to believe that the illness was related to COVID. The judge sent jurors home for the day, telling them to expect to return today. The 59-year-old Maxwell, of course, has denied the charges that she groomed teenagers to give the financier Jeffrey Epstein sexual massages. The government had been expected to end its case by the end of this week. The mayor-elect Eric Adams, who will take office on January 1st, has named one of his new choices for his administration and a new school's chancellor. He announced yesterday that longtime educator David Banks will serve as the school chancellor when Adams takes office in January. Adams appeared with Banks yesterday at the Brooklyn Elementary School that he attended. Banks, of course, Adams praised Banks as a visionary, a leader, an innovator, who would spend his career fighting on behalf of students. Banks is a former teacher and principal who founded the Eagle Academy Network of Schools in 2004 to educate black and Latino boys who he believed were often poorly served by the educational system. Banks said that he was deeply humbled, but also ready for the new challenge. Back in the state capitol in Albany, we told you about how SUNY Chancellor Jim Malatra said that he would not resign after it was revealed that he had sent text messages mocking one of the women who later accused former Governor Cuomo of sexual harassment. Well, a couple of days can have a change of tune in people, and now Malatra said that he will resign. The cause for his resignation or removal, of course, had began after the state attorney general, Tish James, late last month, made public transcripts and evidence from a probe of sexual harassment allegations that forced Cuomo from office. A text exchange from 2019 involving Malatris and other Cuomo allies showed them privately mocking Lindsay Boylan, a former economic development official, who would later become the first woman to publicly accuse the governor. His resignation is effective on January 14th. Here in this city, we've been telling you about how non-citizens are getting closer to gaining the right to vote in municipal elections. The city council overwhelmingly approved a measure yesterday that would give access to the ballot box to 800,000 green card holders and so-called Dreamers. Only a veto from the mayor stands in the way of the measure actually becoming law. But the Democrat said that he would not veto it, even if he said the voting rights should be a reward for achieving U.S. citizenship. Supporters say that giving non-citizens the right to vote would make elected officials more accountable to a huge segment of the city's population. And finally, voters also in the city would be asked to decide that there should be a citywide racial equity plan as part of a proposal put together by a commission that was convened in the wake of last year's racial justice protests. The Racial Justice Commission voted on measures that would be on the ballot in November, pending final approval. The potential ballot questions include whether the city should have a racial equity office and whether it should create a tool to measure the cost of living here in the city. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Friday, we have a few important messages to tell you about from the MTA. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how the Islanders are making history, but not in the good kind. We'll also talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we're going to talk the latest national news, including how a federal appeals court has ruled against an effort by the former president to shield documents from the House Committee investigating the insurrection at the Capitol back in January. We're going to talk about this and a lot more, too, on this Getaway Friday, when the update with Brandon and Julian continues.
From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandon and Julian. We'll be right back.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With aceyourretirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Of all the newscasters in New York, I just happened to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for traffic and weather together.
Until January of 2022, there is no service on the D line between Bay 50th Street and Coney Island Stillwell Avenue because of flooding protection in the Coney Island Yard. D trains are running between 205th Street and Bay 50th Street, with select trains running to Bay Parkway. For service to Coney Island, use an F, N, or Q train, or free shuttle bus service at Bay 50th Street. When you ride the subway or bus, you must wear a mask or covering, even if you're fully vaccinated, that covers your nose and mouth for your entire trip. Please, do your part to keep New York healthy. See mta.info to learn more. Stay safe, and thank you for riding with us. You can also tap and go with Omni to board every subway and bus. No more wondering if you have any money left on your MetroCard. Just tap your contactless bank card or your smart device on the Omni reader and wait for the green go screen. If you're transferring to or from the subway or between buses, free transfers are available. Just remember to use the same card or device at all points of your journey. For more information, visit omni.info. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.75. Transfers must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. On select bus service, you can pay at the kiosks outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $6.75. Coins are no longer accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So the New York Islanders, they made some history in their game last night, but it was history in exactly all of the wrong ways. We're going to talk about that right now, because Elliot Tolvanen scored with 11 and a half seconds left to cap the Predators' third period rally for a 4-3 win. The Islanders led 3-2 after Noah Dobson's goal early in the third, but Nashville came back to keep the Islanders winless in 7 games at their new home. Nashville's Yakov Trinan
tied it with 7:29 to play, and Tolvanen tipped a shot from the point past Simon Varlamov. The Islanders are 0-5-2 at UBS Arena, which opened with much fanfare late last month. The Islanders started this season on a 13-game road trip to open the season. It's the first time in NHL history that a team has gone winless in its first 7 games at a new venue. To Thursday night football we go now in Minneapolis. The Vikings won another close game as they're trying to stay in the NFC playoff chase. Dalvin Cook rushed for 205 yards and 2 touchdowns in his faster than expected return from a shoulder injury, leading the Vikings to a 36-28 win over the Steelers. The Vikings had a 366 advantage in total yards in the first half and led 29-0 before allowing the Steelers to get back into the game. Kirk Cousins was picked off twice in the second half, but he also threw a 62-yard scoring pass to K.J. Osborne to put the Vikings ahead 36-20 with 11 minutes to play. Ben Roethlisberger rallied the Steelers with 3 touchdown passes over the final 17-plus minutes. And he almost had a 4th on the final play, but the Vikings knocked the ball out of the hands of Pat Freiermuth. The outcome leaves the Vikings 6-7 and drops the Steelers to 6-6-1. There's a pair of deaths we have to talk about now. One of them sad, the other one more tragic than sad. Let's start with Al Unser. He was one of only 4 drivers to win the Indianapolis 500, a record 4 times. He died yesterday following years of health issues. He was 82. Indianapolis Motor Speedway said early today that Unser died at his home in Charma, New Mexico. Unser was part of an elite club of 4-time winners of the greatest spectacle in racing. Unser won in 1970, 1971, 1978, and 1987, and is the only driver with both a sibling and a child who also won the 500. His namesake son, Al Unser Jr., is a 2-time winner. The Unser family combined for a record 9 wins in the Indy 500. And more tragically, down in Atlanta, former NFL wide receiver Demaryius Thomas died at the age of just 33. Police in the Atlanta suburb of Roswell says that Thomas was found dead in his home. The family believe that he died from a seizure and foul play is not suspected. Thomas, of course, was a Georgia native who earned 5 straight Pro Bowl selections and a Super Bowl ring during a prolific receiving career spent mostly with the Broncos. His best seasons came when he teamed with Peyton Manning. Thomas played collegiately at Georgia Tech, managing to shine in a run-oriented offense. He last played in the NFL in 2019, and he officially retired in June. Both of them will be deeply missed. In terms of today's action, we almost have another full docket. Islanders, they are up in Buffalo taking on the Sabres tonight at 7 o'clock. And then we have a trio of 7:30 starts. Devils at the Rock in Newark taking on the Predators. Nets on the road in Atlanta taking on the Hawks. Knicks are north of the border in Toronto taking on the Raptors. When we return on the update this Getaway Friday, we're going to talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we're going to talk about the latest national news, including how the president is looking to close his 2-day virtual summit for democracy by shining a spotlight on election integrity, countering authoritarian regimes, and bolstering the independent media. Going to talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian returns after these messages. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back.
54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah, at aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Beijing common sense. Beijing common sense. Anybody know if there's any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian.
Indeed it is. Welcome back to the update, everyone, on a Friday, a getaway Friday for some or most of us. TGIF again to all you out there. You know, with that late-breaking news we mentioned right off the top with Governor Hochul putting that new mask mandate for areas that don't have a vaccine requirement, you must wear a mask in all in public indoor spaces. You all know I'm scheduled to go on vacation starting on Tuesday. But after hearing this news, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, literally, I have the archives set up to take us right through January. Well, not through January, through the new year. And now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to make bonus episodes. So if you want to listen to our archives to take you through the new year, you can do that. Otherwise, I'll just be providing bonus episodes where the news varies, where I have to come back. Why does the news make it so complicated? I just don't know. Anyway, let's shift away from that. Talk about what happened on this day in history for this December the 10th. Highlight of his day came in 1994 when Yasser Arafat, Shimon Peres, and Yitzhak Rabin received the Nobel Peace Prize, pledging to pursue their mission of healing the anguished Middle East. In 1817, Mississippi was admitted as the 20th state of the Union. In 1861, the Confederacy admitted Kentucky as it recognized a pro-Southern shadow state government that was acting without the authority of the pro-Union government in Frankfort. In 1898, a treaty was signed in Paris, officially ending the Spanish-American War. In 1950, Ralph J. Bunche was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, becoming the first black American to receive the award. In 1964, Martin Luther King Jr. received his Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo, saying he had accepted it, quote, with an abiding faith in America and an audacious faith in the future of mankind. In 1967, the singer Otis Redding, at age 26, and six others were killed when their plane crashed into Wisconsin's Lake Monona. Trumpeter Ben Cawley, a member of the group Bar Keys, was the only survivor. In 1996, South African President Nelson Mandela signed the country's new constitution into law during a ceremony in Sharpsville. In 2005, actor and comedian Richard Pryor died in Encino, California at the age of 65. In 2006, former Chilean dictator General Augusto Pinochet died at the age of 91. In 2007, former Vice President Al Gore accepted a Nobel Peace Prize with a call for humanity to rise up against the looming climate crisis and stop waging war on the environment. In 2013, South Africa held a memorial service for Nelson Mandela, during which President Obama energized tens of thousands of spectators and nearly 100 visiting heads of state with a plea for the world to emulate the last great liberator of the 20th century. However, it was marred by the presence of a sign language interpreter who deaf advocate says was an imposter, waving his arms around meaninglessly. Also, General Motors named Product Chief Mary Barra its new CEO, making her the first woman to run a U.S. car company. And in 2019, House Democrats announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump, declaring that he betrayed the nation with his actions toward Ukraine and an obstruction of Congress investigation. He responded with a tweet of witch hunt. At an evening rally in Pennsylvania, he mocked the impeachment effort and predicted it would lead to his re-election in 2020. National news is next for us when the update of Brandon Julian continues. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, if you ever want to find someone that you really want to be in a relationship with, I suggest you find yourself a Pisces. They literally are the best person to fall in love with. It literally is the equivalent of winning the lottery. This is the update with Brandon Julian.
Welcome back to the aforementioned update with Brandon Julian on this Getaway Friday, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. We're talking right now the latest national news. And we're going to begin in Washington, of course, where a federal appeals court has now ruled against an effort by the former president to shield documents from the House committee that's investigating the January insurrection at the Capitol. The three-judge panel said yesterday that there was a, quote, unique legislative need for documents that the committee has requested, but whose release Trump has sought to block through executive privilege. The appeals court ruled that the injunction that has prevented the National Archives from turning over the documents will expire in 2 weeks, or when the Supreme Court rules on an expected appeal from Trump, whichever is later, of course. Meanwhile, President Biden is looking to close his two-day virtual summit for democracy by shining a spotlight on election integrity, countering authoritarian regimes, and bolstering the independent media. On the summit's first day, Biden yesterday announced plans for the U.S. to spend up to $424 million around the world to support independent media, anti-corruption work, and more. The initiative came as he called on world leaders to work with him to reverse what he called an alarming diminishment of democracy around the globe. The president is scheduled to deliver closing remarks to leaders and civil society groups later on today. Down in Tampa, in Florida, One standout U.S. narcotics agent who used his badge to build a lavish lifestyle of luxury cars and Tiffany jewelry has now been sentenced to 12 years in federal prison for conspiring to launder money with a Colombian cartel. But even as Jose Izari admitted his crimes yesterday, he blamed colleagues in the DEA for fostering a culture of corruption that he says desensitized him to the implications of breaking the law. His attorneys say in court paper that Izari has met with prosecutors for, quote, endless hours to detail the criminal activity of others. The DEA themselves did not immediately comment. Over in Chicago, we all know that Jussie Smollett's conviction for lying to police has come nearly 3 years after his report of a horrifying hate crime that quickly became part of a politicized political landscape. A jury, of course, yesterday found the former Empire actor guilty of staging a 2019 attack in downtown Chicago and lying to the police about it. Prosecutor said that the verdict was a, quote, resounding message by the jury that Mr. Smollett did exactly what we said he did. They say he recruited two brothers for the fake attack, which included a slogan of then-President Trump. Smollett maintains that he is innocent, and his attorney says that he plans to appeal the conviction. There's more national news for us to discuss. We will address those, of course, when the update of Brandon Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the aforementioned update, Brandon Julian. On this Friday, everyone, a getaway Friday for some of us. TGIF to all of you. We're talking right now the latest national news. And back here in New York, companies are rethinking their plans to send workers back to the office as the new Omicron variant is adding to another level of uncertainty. Google and Ford are among those once again delaying their return to office plans, while other businesses whose workers are already back to the office are considering adding extra precautions like masks and COVID testing. The moves are the latest indication, of course, of how difficult it is for companies to set firm plans for workers to return workers to the office, with worries about a spike in cases or new variants shifting return to office deadlines. Of course, nearly 2 years into this pandemic, the origin of the virus that's tormenting this world remains shrouded in mystery still. Most scientists believe that it jumped from bats to humans, either directly or through another animal. Others theorize, of course, that it escaped from a Chinese lab. Now with the global COVID death toll surpassing 5.2 million, a growing chorus of scientists is trying to keep the focus on the animal-to-human theory in the hope that what's learned can help humankind fend off new viruses and variants. But their search for answers is stymied by the tensions between the U.S. and China. Out west in Sacramento in California, truck drivers there will soon have to worry about pollution tickets, along with their speeding tickets. The California Air Resources Board yesterday approved a new smog check program for heavy-duty trucks. Many newer trucks have computers on board that monitor emissions and send data to the state. But the state also plans to set up sophisticated roadside sensors to detect trucks that are polluting too much. The proposal is part of the state's aggressive strategy to clean up its dirty air. Also yesterday, the board approved a ban on the sale of gas-powered lawn equipment starting in 2024. And finally, let's head to the Midwest, out of Helena, Montana, where this winter, or here in the tri-state area, if there's ever been a blizzard, we all know there have been drivers and motorists that have been stuck in their cars waiting for the heroic snowplow drivers to dig them out. However, this winter, more motorists may find themselves stuck on those snowy highways and even have their travel disrupted because of a shortage of snowplow drivers. States from Washington to Pennsylvania and some even in the Rocky Mountains are having trouble finding enough people willing to take the comparatively low-paying jobs that require a commercial driver's license and often entail working at odd hours in the most dangerous of conditions imaginable. States are warning that it could take longer for the plows to clear highways during the winter storms. State transportation departments are competing for drivers with trucking companies with the ability to increase pay and offer signing bonuses. And trucking companies, they're short on drivers themselves. Can I let you guys ponder on that? As we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Friday, December the 10th, 2021. That is the update on this Friday and for this week. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Please be well, wherever you're traveling to, if you are one of those people. Make sure you do so safely. Our archives, year one, looking back into February of 2018, our archives will take you through this weekend. And then I will take you and I will see you refreshed and ready to go Monday for the last day before my vacation. I'm going to put vacation in quotes because at this point with COVID, you never know what to expect. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll see you right back here on Monday.